This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project.
All right, Project, welcome back to part two of planning for the quarter, or planning for the year, but this is the more micro, the quarter. We spoke last week, obviously, about the owner's intent, the financial goals, the happiness, the five voices. If you didn't know any of that, go back to part one, go listen to that. But if you're ready for part two this week, we're excited to bring it to you. We've got, we're going to do pricing and packaging. We're going to do quarterly goals, KPIs, and we're going to talk about avatar, client avatar as well. And like I mentioned last week, it is all the stuff that we go through on a yearly basis with, and a quarterly basis with our coaches, MPE. So if you guys are listening to this and you know, it's great information, you love it, you can execute it on your own. You may have an accountability system or a mentor already to help you through it. That's fantastic. Keep working with them. But if you don't, if you're struggling a little bit, if you're a bit lost, if you're hearing this information, if you tune into the podcast all year on In The Black and you're like, man, I'm really just not growing my gyms how I thought I would. I'm just a bit lost. I have lots of questions and this stuff sounds really good to you. Well, this is the stuff that MPE gives us. So I would recommend working with them. They have the pricing at every level. If you listen to this, if you get to the end of the episode and you're like, fuck, I really need to get coaching on this stuff, just do it. Like, just, you won't regret it. We haven't regretted it. It's 2.5 years on. We've churned through every other fucking gym launch and shit under the sun. None of that stuff's good. It's crap, okay? These people, OPEX, Precision Nutrition, CrossFit Invictus, Gold's Gym, you know, this is like, these are $100 million companies that they've worked with, yeah. $100 million companies, they don't get consulting off gym launch.
Yeah, how I would put it is, you know, you can go with a company that gets you like 99 leads in a month, which is fine. But I think when you're ready to try and make it like a real business and put all that stuff in place, you're like, oh, I feel like I own a good business. That's really what MPE is after.
Yeah.
That's the feeling they want to give you.
You're going to run out of Facebook ads to run at one point. You know, the mark's not going to want it anymore. That's just the reality. So, cool. Let's dive into this week. Let's start with pricing and packaging. Well, yeah. Now, I will say, we have done a few pricing episodes before. We do have a download on our website at themindmuscleproject.com/free on pricing. So, if you like this pricing and packaging discussion we're about to have and you want to go deeper, we do have a guide on there.
So, once you got you, when you got your goals for the year, you got to have a look at, hey, how am I going to price and package my services? And I don't just mean like, have a look at what the gym next door does and, you know, do the same them. Or $1 less. Like, man, that's the stuff that happens. Like, we've had that happen to us.
Yeah.
The gym just changes their price to $1 and us. I mean, that is a game you do not want to be in.
No.
Because very, very likely, and when we chat to gym owners all the time, is they have a member goal, and then when they get there, with their current pricing and packaging and discounts they've got, they're not even close to their financial goals.
Yeah.
So that is a disaster. So you need to work backwards from your financial goals for, hey, what is the pricing and packaging I need to put in place? And we've made different changes over the year. Like, we've brought in limited memberships. We went from unlimited to limited membership.
Right.
You know, so we've done different changes like that. We've put up our onboarding price. We've changed different things. We've changed our contract. So you need to put together a plan for your pricing and packaging. And if you think it's perfect, then at least just put it up 5% because it's a new year.
Man, every time I think we do it, I'm like, man, there's no way someone's going to pay this. This is crazy. We're not going to be able to close sales anymore. Like, I can't believe we're redoing it again. It's already perfect. And then every single time, I'm like, oh, man, it's so good. But it needs to go up
again.
Needs
to change, yeah.
Like, I think that's what I love about the sales process is that for you and me, we're always upgrading it. It's never stagnant. And I don't think I would ever set the expectation that it will stay stagnant because we always want to improve it. And that's been the most eye-opening part is like how many revisions of the sales document we've had. I think we're up to 17 or 18 now. And yeah, it's like it's just pretty crazy. Like we have been going at this this sales process for ages. I remember when I looked at you and we cut the period of time the onboarding takes. We cut the amount of sessions, or maybe we kept the amount of sessions the same, but we put the price up like $200 or $300.
We cut the sessions and we brought down the time and we increased the price up.
I remember looking at you going, man, are you sure? And I think even you hesitated. You're like,
yeah, no,
and then
I
we're like, nah, let's just do it. And then
we got more people buy it.
It's crazy. You get better clients, you close sales more often, and they're like, oh, this is like a serious gym. So they're more committed. It's crazy. It's crazy how it works. Obviously, there's a limit to that. You can't just charge like $2,000 for a week. But the point is, it can always go up.
Exactly.
Should not go down.
And when you do your pricing and packaging, you know, you can include in that how much you're going to pay your trainers and everything like that. Make sure it all works out. And if you're still a gym that's selling 10 packs, This is probably the time that you can move to something better.
Yeah.
Very, very likely when you go back to your happiness, you didn't want to be signing people back up to 10 packs every single month. You wanted long-term recurring memberships that deposit money into your account month after month after month. So get your pricing and packaging sorted and don't be scared to put up your prices. And then the second one is client avatar. So client avatar, you know, I think at least doing it once a year is a really good idea.
Right.
But just getting clear again, maybe you've already got one written down, but revisiting it, who is exactly the client I'm after in my gym this year?
Yeah. And we've done a few episodes on this last year, so you'll probably be able to find them. But one of the things I would add on to this, and this is some of Seth Godin's best work, is your avatar is not necessarily a demographic, it's a psychographic. And what I mean by that is, it's a person that thinks a certain way. It's a person that, you know, buys certain things, wants certain desires.
What's
a
mindset,
in their life.
Right?
Yeah, it's like how this person sees the world. Because, you know, you can take a 30-year-old male that works in the city, that lives in, you know, the inner city, gets, you know, coffee at the same place as the other guy, and then, you know, on the surface, on the demographics, side by side, they both have a fiance, you know, they both drive a Mercedes, whatever it is. On paper, they're exactly the same, but you go and you speak to these people, two completely different people. One only cares about video games and Teslas and sustainability in the environment. And then the other guy, I don't know, maybe all he cares about is, you know, art and, you know, traveling and, you know, just different stuff. And so what you realize is demographically, they're the same person, but psychographically, their world beliefs completely different. And marketing talks to the world beliefs, the psychographics of people. Marketing doesn't talk to the demographics of people. So that is why what I found doing, you know, being the head of marketing for our businesses for so long is when you go, hey, are you a 25-year-old, you know, male that is looking to change their health and fitness, that, you know, works in the city or whatever? It's, you're not really speaking to that person, because, you know, 15 people could say yes to that, but they could all be 15 different people, and only two of those people could be good for your gym. But if you say something like, oh, are you looking to change your health in a sustainable way? Are you looking to do it without beating yourself down in an environment with people that care about the future of this planet, that, you know, want to use sustainable water and coffee cups and all this sort of stuff, and you know, you speak more to the world beliefs of that person, you're going to get a much more ideal person to walk into your gym. So that's really the shift you need to make around. I think that a lot of the amateur marketers out there, that when they mentor their clients, they harp on the demographic, and it's just amateur shit. So if you're getting a lot of that from your coach, then cut them instantly. You need worldviews. Speaking to the worldviews is where it's at.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, and that'll be a good one. And you know, sometimes you do this exercise and then you realize a few people aren't a good fit anymore for your gym.
Right.
And that can, you know, when they do end up leaving, doesn't feel as bad.
Yeah.
Because you're like, hey, they weren't the right fit.
Yeah. And we pre-qualify a lot of people through our sales process, I'd say. Marketing's kind of built into that. It's like we, what's that pre-inquiry form?
That's, you know, that's ask important. People like, hey, you're after sustainable goals.
Yeah.
Do you want this? Do you want
a short-term fix?
Yeah. And, you know, you can weed out some of those people.
Yeah.
If they have a bad reaction to that.
Yeah. Because if you push short-term fix, you're going to get people that have the belief that, yeah, I can get a six-pack in 6 weeks. You know, you're going to find those people that believe that. If you don't market it, you won't get those people.
Okay, third thing, let's set some KPIs for your year. So, key performance indicators, it's going to be super powerful. You know, everyone has this generally for sports performance, right? You know, even if you don't set it, you kind of know when we're doing CrossFit. Like, man, I know my back squat's going up.
Yeah.
And like my 2K, my 10-minute calories.
Need 30 muscle ups.
Yeah, you're like, man, that's just like, those are the numbers. Like, because when they're going, you know, everyone knows when your ring muscle ups are going up, so are your chest bars, so are your bar muscle ups, and so are your handstand push ups.
Right.
It's kind of the way it is. That is a really powerful thing to do with your business, because if you don't think about it, you end up with just the same KPIs everyone. You know, how many members have I got? And not even like how many are paying me, just like how many are like on the books, and seven of them are free members, and nine of them I actually hate when I see in the gym. It's a disaster.
Seven of them are free members.
All the time. No, heaps of free members, right? Funny. It just gets crazy.
If I see a free member,
it's painful. Yeah, it's painful.
That doesn't exist in our gym.
No. Like, it's like a free restaurant. Oh, like half the people here are eating for free. Like, that doesn't think that happens very often. So you need to set some good and well thought out KPIs for your business. And we'll give you a hint at some that we like to use. A really, really good one is average revenue per member.
Mm-hmm.
We like Wattify to spit it out automatically for us. You can work it out pretty easy, right? It's just how many people are actually coming to your gym and how much money you're making.
Yeah,
divide the two. And that's a powerful one, because we believe that you should always be trying to slowly have your members spending more money at your gym.
Mm.
The reason why that's important is just because we know, hey, when people spend more money at the gym, they stay longer.
Yeah.
That's a big one. We want people to stay longer, because the longer they stay, the more results they get.
Yeah.
Two, the more they spend, the more attention and effort they put into the gym. So yeah. Just like, you know, when you have a $9 membership to an app, you actually don't care if you haven't used that app for 3 weeks for your fitness. Because like, oh, it's a $9 app. You're not... If that was a $900 app a week, you would be opening that thing yeah. up every single day. And, you know, maybe that means they're picking up more PT at the gym, or yeah. they're buying more subs off us, or whatever it is. Increasing that, we know it's a good measure of how much impact we're having on their life.
Yeah.
That's hard to measure.
Yeah. Look, I would say, to add on to what you're saying, is that I, for a long time, And even to this day, I think there is a little bit of hesitation around this stuff. But I'm completely trained myself to overcome it. Is that there is some fear around, oh, do I want to keep charging this person more money? My gym, they're already paying me money. It almost feels greedy to keep asking money. But then you have to ask yourself the question, okay, if this person has $500 a week of disposable income as arbitrary number, right? And they spend, say, $100 on your gym, right? They got $400 left. Now, what do you think is better for them? They've come to you and they said, hey, I want to like get my health back. Like, I'm in a lot of pain, blah, blah, blah. Like, if they have $400 extra, is it better that they buy some supplements that help, like a greens powder and a whey protein to kind of improve their consistency and adherence to their diet? And so there's like $50 there. And then should they spend another $50 to $100 on an extra personal training session to keep them more accountable, work on some exercise technique, or maybe even invest in some chiropractics? Should they spend the next $100 on meal prep and, you know, some nutrition stuff that you work with them, and kind of use up more of that disposable income that they were going to spend anyway with you that's helping them achieve their goals? Or would you rather them spend it on, oh, fuck, I got an extra $400. Let's buy some fucking drugs this weekend. Let's get some more beers. Let's buy some more shoes that I don't need. Like, they're going to spend that money anyway. So you're now in a position where I would say it's immoral to then go and force them to spend money they don't have, of course, but they're going to spend the money anyway. These clients are buying subs.
Look, you got to understand, it's your duty. The way I see it is this. If you're a trainer at the gym, someone walks in, they're like, hey, can I get just a bottle of water? You can just give them a bottle of water, $2. But it's really your duty to be like, I'm going to give you the bottle of water, but, you know, do you know that you should really be drinking 4 of these a day, and you should really be getting like alkaline water for ideal cellular function, fat loss, energy levels.
All right, now that's immoral.
But that is the truth. And what's unbelievable is you often find people in gyms actually hold back what is actually the best for the client.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're worried, like, hey, that costs a bit of extra money. And sometimes you need to say, hey, like, maybe we need a PT after class, because you know, your knees make such a big clapping sound in the gym when you squat that everyone gets distracted. You know, maybe, you know, we gotta get some meal delivery happening or whatever it is, right? Maybe they come twice a week and they need to go to 5 days a week membership. Mm. It's not that your duty is to force them to do anything, but it's just to, as a trainer and as a respected fitness professional, you know, recommend to them what you think is best.
Yeah.
And that's a big drive for us. We want to see that number going up, and we want committed members.
Yeah, and they trust you, so you should present them what you think is best in terms of the categories that they're already going to buy. So supplements is the easiest one, right? If you don't tell them what to go get, they're going to go just fucking get it themselves. And they're going to go speak to... Harry fucking Biceps, you know, who's a fucking roid head in the sup store, and he's going to sell him like a can of protein with a needle in it, you know? So you help the client, okay? It's your duty. It's your responsibility.
So that's a huge one. I mean, and you can have other ones that suit you. It might be just, total paying members. That's a number you want to see going up.
Mm. Attendance is a big one as well.
We track attendance. We actually compare it. So we look at like January attendance compared to January last year.
And Waterfy's app like allows people to sign in, like retroactively, proactively, in before class, all this sort of stuff.
We keep good data on that. Obviously, we'll track profit as one as well, because if you only track revenue, then, you know, you might end up with spending more money than you make, and that's not fun for anyone. So have a good think about them, and which are the ones you really want to see drive up, and then you can start building strategies to drive them up.
And I will add to that, like, I didn't know a lot of these softwares that sign people in, they don't actually track performance. What if I include... All had performance tracking. What if I was like one of the very few?
I don't know if you saw it. I don't think we talked about it in the podcast, but the our members loved it. There was like a 2020 review that came up.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone that's on Waterfy knows it. And one of our members like had the highest attendance by like 60 classes, like crazy. Full animal. Like six, Hannah. Okay. It's like 6 days a week, you know, like every week of the year, no holidays.
Beast.
One of the members in class had like the third most PRs for the year.
Yeah.
We lifted more weight on deadlift than any other lift. I guess that's not surprising, but I don't know. It could be some squatting gyms out there in Asia.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, that is the sort of stuff you need to get. Now, that is pretty much all the high-level strategy stuff. It's all kind of yearly-based. And then the last step that Locke and I will do is we'll set a quarterly plan. And that's important because otherwise, if everything is kind of yearly, you know, it's like, oh, what do I do next week? But if you only set monthly, you know, our coaches get to set quarterly because you can't, you can achieve it a lot in a month. But big drivers, often you need to do over a quarter.
Need to win the quarter.
Yeah, because often, you know, you need to set something up and then you actually just need to maintain it.
Yeah.
And make sure it's working well, even as the ups and downs of business come.
So yeah.
After that, we're going to basically set some quarterly goals around big pieces, you know, attracting more clients to the gym, serving our members that we have passionately. Those big drivers towards the yearly KPIs that we've set.
Yeah, that's what we tell our coaches, you know, when we meet monthly and maybe it wasn't the month that everyone was expecting or it's going as well. You know, it's our duty as the leaders of this business to remind them, guys, it's not about, don't get too down on the month, right? Yeah, the month could have been better, but we're trying to win the quarter. Mm. We're not trying to win the month. And so I think it becomes unrealistic to try and win every month, but it's not unrealistic to try and win four quarters.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest thing on your quarterly goals for this month you think is going to move the needle?
So for us, the beginning and executing the marketing plan is going to be big. We've set up, you know, a pretty high level strategy and drilled it down all the way to, you know, captions and posts and just a way more organized with the content we're putting out. I think, you know, we're living in a day and age now where, you know, there are apps that billions of people are using where the content expires in 24 hours. And all that means is that this shit is just like, it's a full-time job, you know. They did it to us, so we're just playing their game. And, you know, everyone's on these apps and it's just the rules of the game. The rules of the game says, you know, you need 3 to 4 posts a week. You need to be posting, you know, every 24 hours because that shit's disappearing. It's coming up again. And it just means that...
Well, back in the day, you used to have to pay a trainer to stand outside and hand out flyers. Or you had to pay like your local newspaper for an ad.
Right.
And now you got to pay someone to film videos.
Yeah. And like, depending on what level you want to take it to and how big your goals are and your owner's intent and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it dictates the size of your marketing team. Mm. And, you know, we're putting together a pretty powerful marketing team because you and I have really big goals. And I really care about the quality of the content we put out, and the message that we put out, because I think it is what, in this digital age, it really separates you from the rest of... you know, the rest of the gyms, the rest of the fitness industry that's out there. So, yeah, we put a lot of time and effort and really looking forward to executing on that. Yeah.
For me personally, probably the biggest one I've got is we're doing some client interviews, which we haven't done for a while.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some client interviews where I'm going to interview some of our best clients at the gym that have been around for ages, some like brand new clients at the gym, some really good clients at the gym that just struggle, like they struggle to make it into the gym or they struggle to get results. They're going to be like longer interviews, not like a 3-minute catch-up, but like proper interviews where I record all the results. And that's going to be powerful because sometimes you've really got to speak to clients, spend some time with them to find out, hey, what don't they love about your service? What do they love about your service? What other stuff would they like to buy from you? You know, well, like maybe you got some ideas for workshops or subs or other stuff you want to do, but get an idea by just scheduling in some good one-on-one consults with your existing members or members that have just left. And I'm going to do that and I'm going to draw ideas out of that that I'll execute on probably honestly in the next quarter.
Mm. Yeah, sick. Well, hopefully you guys had a lot to think about there. We've got pricing and packaging, KPIs, avatar, and quarterly goals. So, you know, I mentioned that there is a pricing and packaging download that you can get. I'll put the links in there. And then just MPA guys, this stuff we go through with them all the way from the high-level stuff, you know, just using their coaching as a sounding board to this stuff. And what I like about it is I think when you and I said it is it doesn't get challenged as much as it does when there's that objective person that comes 100%. Out and looks and goes, no, guys, this isn't real happiness. Yeah. Like, I've seen you do this before and I know if you do this, you're not going to be happy. So, have you thought about this? Or, hey, those numbers don't make sense. That's not a real financial goal. Yeah. If you were to do that, then X would have to be your rent or you'd need to fire a staff member or this. Have you thought about that? Or, you know, just some really positive stuff. The coaching's like, hey guys, you are on the right track here. Well done. Keep going. Cause there's always that uncertainty, right?
Yep.
And then just having the reassurance of that coach there, knowing that you're on the right track is super important for us. So if you guys are on board for MPA coaching, if you're ready to make a change in 2020 and really kind of level up your business, we're not like legitimately, we are not in the position we are today without their help. Mm. It's just not how it's going to be. The thing is you just need, like, that's why coaches were often once really great players, you know, in sport, because they've been there, they've been to the highest level, and people speak to them to be like, okay, how do I get to that higher level? And so that's kind of what it's like in business. You want people that have been there, that are working with the best, because you want to know what it takes to get to those levels. And so that's what we feel like we get with MPE, more than any other coaching we've had before. So links are in the description, guys. They do have an upcoming in-person event in Sydney in March. We'll talk more about that at a later stage. So if you want to hang out for that, you can as well. But if you're super keen now, links in the description. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. We hope it was helpful and we'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.